listening to CJSF 90.1 FM SFU Burnaby.
Live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's time for more suds.
Hey there. Gather around. Grab a bottle of something comfortable.
Oh, there's lots of good bottles in front of us.
Because we're going to have a ball today. Welcome to another suds segment where we don't just sit around and drink beer all the time. Oh, no. Sometimes we have to go to the store and get more beer. And believe me, that takes effort sometimes.
Cut, paste, a new entry line, right?
You know what? If I had a button that
can
would,
we rate the entry line?
Express.
I give it a solid two. There,
that would
Dave.
Express how I feel about you right now.
Huh. You know what?
You're number one.
I'm going to give you a one finger.
A one finger.
All right. There you go.
Oh, so sweet. Well, I am one of your hosts, good old gal, Juliana. Today is a special episode, and the beer that I brought today to discuss is going to be Keeping Memories from Equilibrium. And joining me at the table today is good old boy Mike.
Hey, this is good old boy Mike. I have brought a beer from Beechwood Blendery. It is a Belgian lambic called Careful With That Aprium, Eugene.
Good old boy Sparky, hello.
Hey, I just wanted to reveal that I might be the illegitimate love child of David Caperton, but in the meantime...
Yes, yeah, I knew it was true.
I can grow that beard. but I brought from Blackberry Farms, all of them.
All of the farms.
Their classic Saison Belgian style.
Good old boy Tim.
Hello, good afternoon. I brought to share with us, this is good old boy Tim. Timing is my specialty.
Yes. Hey, Tim.
Do you need the cue cards?
Thank you for sharing yourself.
I couldn't see what she was holding up.
You need that guide with sign, you know?
I brought good old boy Tim.
You are good old boy Tim.
Dave's legally court obligated to have me here. So that's all. That's the only reason I'm here. But I brought... our finest regards barley wine by Pretty Things, and it is a 13-year-old beer, so it hopefully doesn't taste like soy sauce, but we'll see.
Okay. Good old boy Dave. Hi.
Hey, this is good old boy Dave, and I brought good old boy Dave and good old boy Tim. I brought Mr. Mingo from Gesture King Brewing in Austin, Texas. It is a 5.2% farmhouse ale with hibiscus.
Well, today's episode is our second annual bottle share to celebrate someone who left us way too soon. On October 4th, 2022, we lost a very dear friend and member of the Sip Suds and Smokes family, David Cornelius Caperton III, a.k.a. Good Old Boy Caperton. He passed away unexpectedly, and we all still miss him terribly.
There are a few people in the world who were more passionate about Saison. Good old boy Caperton drank them and brewed them. He was never afraid to praise the ones he liked, and he definitely was not afraid to critique the ones he didn't.
This might be a good beer, but it's not.
Yeah. It could have been if you hadn't messed it up.
Right. Yeah. But then there's this one, yeah. Right, but then there's that. So today we are having a bottle share to celebrate good old boy Caperton and to share the beers we think he may have enjoyed. Good old boy Sparky, why don't you give us the Suds ratings for today?
Sure thing. We're going to be discussing and rating these beers with these Suds ratings, plus our signature belching sounds. Here are those ratings now. 1, that sucks. Give me anything but a bud. Dave.
I was getting there. I was pouring a beer.
2. Was that a belch?
See, I got that one.
Yeah. 3. What a relief. 4. A buddy should really not make that sound. 5, listen to that hang time. Give me another.
Oof, God bless. Okay, so, good old boy Mike, why don't you start it off for us?
Yeah, so our format today for this episode is each of us has picked a beer that is a bit of an homage moment, you know, with Caperton. He was just such a huge fan of the style of the beers that we have selected for today. He was absolutely the Saison man of the Southeast, for sure.
He's stronger than all of us. He's bigger than all of us.
And he was such a fan of a lot of really great sour beers as well. Loved Belgian lambics, fruited Belgian lambics. All things infected. You know, he actually worked
he
in a hospital.
He loved infections.
And so he was around infected people all day long. So each of us has selected a beer that is very much a beer that we would have sat down and shared with Caperton. So the beer that I brought is from Beechwood Blendery. It is called Careful With That Apron, Eugene. So it's a there's a little bit of a story behind the name of the beer. A couple of people walk into the woods and are chopping at each other, and somebody loses that contest and gets whacked through that. So that's where the name of this comes from.
From one of the greatest bands ever,
Pink Floyd,
on the Relics album, in case you care.
So if you did not know what an apium is, that is okay, because a lot of you probably don't. It is a stone fruit. There's actually a hybrid between apricots and plums. So very similar to apricots. Apriums are complex. They're plum apricot hybrids that actually show primarily apricot traits and flavors. So
is that like a pluot?
So it's in the same family. So the pluot is actually another hybrid version of plums and apricots as well.
Pluot is more plum forward.
It is more plummy. That is correct. Yeah. So apium trees actually grow quickly and are usually compared to something that I can't read along the line that I'm looking at right now. So anyway.
Look, you can't read now.
The very key thing is that they're very late harvest ripening. So these are like the last fruits that you're going to pull off of the trees, you know. So you'll get plums usually very early on. You'll get, you know, apricots kind of in the middle of the harvest, and you'll get apriums, you know, kind of late in the harvest season. So
the final fruit.
Love Beechwood. I can't begin to tell you enough fabulous things. Dave and I have been to the Long Beach brew pub.
Food's good
as
too.
Well. The food was absolutely amazing. They have actually expanded quite a bit. I was surprised. I knew that they had a production facility that is in a different part of town, and they've actually expanded to 5 different locations that you can actually purchase and enjoy their beers on tap, as well as they have really great distribution still. So two sides of there's a clean line side of Beechwood, and then there's the Blendery. So they have a you know, a lot of good creativity on, say, both sides of the coin or the wall, you know, to keep one side infected and the other one pure and clean. This is a Belgian lambic style. Again, that's fruited with apium. This is at 7.7% ABV, which is kind of high for, you know, a lambic style. What'd you guys think of this beer?
Freaking delicious.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah, this is like this brings me back to when I really enjoyed sour beers, like and back in the day.
Absolutely.
You know? I didn't know what an aprium was, but I mean, I just assumed it was like peach or something.
But you taste both parts.
Yeah, the stone fruit for days, delightful.
And then the plum comes out like right at the very end.
This beer has like been gently cellared for skin, 8 years.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the lambic sourness that I really enjoy. There's, you know, a hint of vinegar, but nothing that like dominates, but you just get like a nice acetic note, but not overwhelming.
Yeah.
And my teeth aren't peeling, you know.
No jaw clinch.
I don't have to brush my teeth tomorrow.
Comment there.
Yeah.
Caperton would have loved this.
Oh my gosh, he would have. Yeah. And I know he would talk about like the stoniness of it too. I just love the fact that like there's the barnyard. It's there. It greets you right at the beginning. Mm-hmm. You get a little bit of like that lactic acid, but the fruit is still like kind of riding the wave on top throughout. And it's just so nice because apricots and plums, they're such a delicate fruit. And for them to come out like this, you know, throughout, but not overwhelming, it's gorgeous.
No, and I love stone fruit. And I think sometimes I've had stone fruit beers that are just way too acetic, and this is clearly not the case here.
Well, the thing that I look at this beer, I had it when it was first released and fresh, and then this bottle that I've actually had gently cellared for the last 8 or 9 years, and this is a great example. We've talked about cellaring beers on the show many times. Time has been very kind to this. This is just perfectly aged, just the way that it is right now. So, I would say that the folks at Beechwood, if you've not gone back and tasted your beer after 8 or 9 years, it is right at the tippy top of excellence.
You're doing good.
Send more.
Yeah.
You need it.
Yeah. Well, let's rate this beer up. Everybody, what do you think about this?
As if there was a doubt, we are going to rate Careful With That Aprium, Eugene, a 5.
Well, I wasn't intending to knock it out of the park, but I think that Caperton would have proved very much of that rating for sure. And,
this is really nice, man.
Yeah.
This is really nice, man.
It doesn't have suck, Mike. Can I have some more? Yeah, that would be probably how you would go about, you know, that conversation.
Well, we'll be back with more in just a minute.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing. We've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right. Keep your eyes on the road, my darling. Wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows. My hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Welcome back, everyone. Today is our second annual bottle share to celebrate one really a good guy that we lost too soon. His name was David Caperton, otherwise known as Good Old Boy Caperton. And today we're doing a bottle share in homage to Good Old Boy Dave and drinking some of the things that he would drink. And
some he would like, some he would... Oh, this is horrible.
Yeah.
Right.
They're not exactly. All going to be winners.
Somehow, I think this next beer is something that...
I had knocked it out of the park.
I think he would say was very enjoyable. Good Old Boy Sparky, what did you bring to the table today?
Well, I brought... There's... In East Tennessee, there's a series of farms... And they're all called Blackberry.
There's about
a
dozen.
I just heard Maddie's head explode.
Yeah. Like a dozen of them, right?
There's at least like 12 to 72 farms that are all named Blackberry. And one of the really cool things is that they've all consolidated to create one brewery.
Farm.
Yes. That's called the Blackberry Farms
Brewery.
We're harassing a mutual friend that is the brand ambassador for this.
Telling a true story, probably, Dave. Yeah. I mean, there's so many Blackberry Farms, and I'm so glad that they all got together to make one beer. So, Blackberry Farms is located in East Tennessee and powered by Ruby Tuesdays and really created some of the greatest saison. I think it's like one of the best saisons in the country. And it was always one of Caperton's favorite. And I have to put a pin in this. Do we have any scratch going on here?
We don't today.
Okay, that's great. So I'm safe going
we
back
knew
to the farms.
Sparky would not be great with scratch beer. So
the last time I was told I brought bottles of dirt, so y'all aren't getting any more of my scratch beer.
It's true. So if you look at this beer, I mean, God, what an amazing saison. And it's a shame because I believe they've sold to another, they're probably going to be changing their name soon. I don't know if the saison's going to continue, but God, if you look at the head on this, it's just classic saison head.
And it's from the bottle as well. Like, I know that the bottle and can used to be different in terms of like bottle conditioned, all that. I don't know if they're still.
I can't speak to that either, but this, I mean, like you just pour it, and I think you poured some, and I just noticed it just overflow. Like, yes, that's exactly what's supposed to happen.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It's delightful.
We've talked about a lot of Blackberry Farm beer on many, many shows. And farms, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
In your eye again, Manny. This is by the hand of Roy Milner, great friend. I have to say that it was really cool to be there at the moment of looking at the wide variety of recipes that, you know, Roy was considering when this beer was, going through a wide range of choices, great choice of yeast, just so classic. Even as I look back on this beer, 14 years later now, it's actually better than DuPont. I can't believe I'm saying that. But it is just every bit of everything that Roy was chasing to create a really great American Saison. I know that Caperton would have just enjoyed this every single day of the week if he had his choice. So it's just such a fabulous beer. And I know a lot of people will still enjoy this even through a change in ownership there. But I think it's really great today.
There's one thing I also wanted to say about Caperton was he was an army guy. He like served his country and was in the medical profession. But there's one thing about Caperton is there's really two things that he hated a lot. I think one of them we're going to get to a little bit later on. So one of them was kudzu for sure. And the second thing was, man, that guy really hated Nazis. Like nobody, nobody I've ever met.
It's weird, but yeah.
Yeah, that was true.
It was really strange.
Had no space.
Well, let's rate this up, and then we'll enjoy a kudzu report from Dave for sure.
It's a,
All right, so we're going to kind of go back in time a little bit to a beer or an episode. I think it was Maine Beer Company. The episode I believe is called Peeper is My Code Name. And this is not the first, but it is definitely one of the cooler kudzu reports that good old boy Caperton used to do.
All right, folks, I'm back to warn a largely unsuspecting populace of the many, many threats that are posed to us by the green invasive horror that is known as kudzu. Maybe some of you listeners may be familiar with this bit, but today we're going to talk about some pretty specific stuff, so try to hang with me here. The green menace that creeps up to 2 feet a day, wherever it takes root, and that's no joke. I mean, that's
legit.
That's legit. I
Two
mean,
feet. That's how many I have.
You don't see it, but it's moving, right? Well, We already know this, and we already know that it can overtake our yards, consuming our personal spaces, and possibly any slow-moving seniors and toddlers who may be out there loitering. But did you know? Did
it's
you
got
know?
My baby.
That's yeah, exactly. I mean, toddlers, guys, come on.
Think of the children.
Out of hand. But anyway, did you know that a very important facet of our daily lives is affected by our ecosystem itself? I don't even, I just kind of botched that. According, it can affect our ecosystems is what I'm trying to say. Kudzu can. And according to Al Gore's interwebs, an ecosystem is a biological community of interacting organisms and their physical environment. Think of it this way. Plants feed animals, right? And if we're lucky, both plants and animals will feed us. But once this slow-motion green tsunami takes root, it can form a blanket over land, trees, vegetation, making it difficult or nearly even impossible. Nearly even.
Wow.
Nearly even. Impossible.
Powerful. That's deep.
For light to get through. And we all know photosynthesis. I don't want to get too deep. I don't want to get too deep. Don't
too late.
Don't make me get deep.
It's pretty deep, dude.
We're deep
but
in
the,
it.
But we are.
And we're
the
waiting.
The vast majority of the underlying plants underneath this canopy are just going to die off because of lack of light. You following me here? You guys with me?
I'm with you.
Oh, thank
we're
you.
We're in the trench.
Let me get an amen. Yeah. Only the hardiest plants will survive the suffocating effects of the dreaded kudzu infestation. It's sort of like nothing but poison ivy and kudzu will be left. And then where are we?
Itchy.
Where are we?
Very itchy.
Not in a good place. I'll tell you, it's like a biological Lord of the Flies out there in our dang old ecosystem. And we've, you know.
Dang it.
It's, you guys are laughing. It's not funny. Okay. But
yeah, wait till your
bottom line is
stick.
I ain't going to let it happen on my watch, folks. So please join me and the many others by eradicating this pest wherever you may find it. Our flipping ecosystem itself may depend on your very help. So thank you.
Oh my goodness. Wow. That is just that is
classic.
That is absolutely a highlight of the day. You know, I remember when I was chatting with Caberton about we really needed like a recurring bit, you know, and I actually had more like a dozen of these in my head, and we may reinvent some of those at some other point in time, but I was talking about it with Dave as we were sitting with, you know, some beers one evening, and he was like, well, I really hate kudzu, Mike. And I go, just like out of the thin blue air, you know, and I'm like, we can work with that.
I can make that
happen, you know? And so we decided to do it, you know, as basically like a newsreel style. And, you know, it was like one bad idea after another, just kind of wound
from
up. Yeah. Right.
You know, he was kind of very cut and dry. Like he either liked something or he
was,
really
it was dead to him.
Yeah, and I love the fact that he wrote like half of him himself and the other half, I wrote. And I thought always what was so funny is that he was just so deadly serious, you know, about the way he delivered it. Was just,
oh yeah.
But I think my all time favorite was the robot one, which maybe we'll play that next year. Mm-hmm. But another episode was where he finally decided to take a non de plume name of being the master abater. And so actually, Juliana is wearing one of the t-shirts that we created as a result of that episode that actually has Master Abater on the shirt. And you'll be able to purchase those on a link off of our website. So really great. And thanks, Dave, for bringing that today.
Yeah, man.
Next beer.
Good old boy, Tim.
All right. Well, so the beer that I brought today is a barley wine from Pretty Things that is...
Oh, may they rest in peace.
Mm. They're back.
Are they done? I don't know.
Are they back?
I thought they moved to England and they're brewing
again. I know, they left.
But they're not... in the States.
I don't even know. I don't even know this brewery.
I don't know this brewery. Oh,
yeah.
they were a rogue brewery.
Yeah, they were a gypsy brewer.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Stopped production. I remember the day because I was in New York City at the time. And I was actually walking through a Whole Foods, and I saw they had some pretty things, beers that were there in stock. And I was like, oh, I don't want to see that go away out of the cold case for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Great barley wine.
Yeah. So
they were Somerville based, but they were.
Yes. As Westport. Yeah. Up in Mass. So Capers and I lived near each other and shared many a beer at mostly my house. Went over the years, just kind of had the similar beers. Flavors or styles that we enjoyed. And, our significant others didn't really drink much beer or any beer, and so we just found solace in hanging out at the house and drinking beers all the time. And so this one's kind of like a double story in that I'm sure you guys remember, I don't know, it was like 2016 or something when Jeff Gish got sick passed away, R.I.P. I didn't know him personally, but he was a big member of the Nashville beer community early on.
Another great guy.
Absolutely. Super great guy. Everyone always had great things to say about him. And to the point, when he got sick, they held these raffles of all of his beer cellar. And Caperton and I went in on a box with the idea, obviously, he just drank the box down. And so this is one of the last beers that I have.
Of Gish's box, really?
Yeah, that's a Jeff Gish beer.
Son of a gun. That
Capers and I were supposed to drink together.
Thank you for bringing it, man.
Obviously, never got to drink together. Obviously, who better share than you guys? But it also, I was looking at other beers, and there's like, the safe picks and the whatever, and those are great. But I was like, well, this one could suck. It's super old. But that's like also part of the adventure. And I think it's what we enjoyed with Caperton is opening a bottle and you don't know what you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
You taste it together and you just, and some beers he liked, I didn't, and vice versa. But I remember the box, we had no idea what was going to be in it. I remember like you were going to get one KBS or something like that. And otherwise it's just a crapshoot. Yeah. We drank a bunch of them. This is just one we didn't get around to doing.
This is tasty.
It is.
It held up.
It doesn't suck.
It really is good.
Well, but it's a barley wine, and it's a good barley wine.
Nice
and
caramel, cola.
And Caperton and I talked a few times about Pretty Things. I was a big fan because, to me, they were the precursor of Zebulon in the sense that Zebulon is known for taking those old world styles and bringing them to life.
Yeah.
And Pretty Things did that as well. Okay. They did pre-prohibition beers, et cetera, et cetera. And like some of them were way out there. But for them being this, as I call it, a rogue brewery,
uh-huh,
I was such a big fan of theirs. And I would have to go to Kentucky back in the day to get them because they weren't distributed in Tennessee.
Oh.
So I go to Bowling Green all the time. And then when Caperton and I became friends, when we would go to Bowling Green and get some beer, I would always like hold some back and then give to him. But and then I remember when they were going out of sale, I drove up to Bowling Green and bought like six or seven, whatever was available at the time, just because I didn't want to let them go. Like I was just such a fan of what they were doing.
Mm.
And also they were calling out like that pay to play kind of thing that was going on in Boston where, you would have to pay for the end cap and they just couldn't compete with that.
Buy the fridge so you get your tap on. Yeah.
Right. Anyways. So this is very, very,
and our finest regards, this particular beer was always one of the best Pretty Things beers. They had a lot of really cool ones, but our finest regards, I think, is a good name for the beer because it was.
Well, I think the thing that strikes me about this is really showing again, a conversation about cellaring beer properly and really enjoying it, because barley wines, usually when they're first made and you're purchasing them, they are so abrasive. I mean, it's literally like tasting sandpaper, you know, it's on your palate. They're just so abrasive and overtly hoppy that, you know, you almost have this conversation, as I did with Caper